substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 1530, a bill to be entitled an act relating to unauthorized public camping and public sleeping.
The Senator of the 33rd District, Senator Martin, is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill creates a prohibition for a county or municipality to authorize a person from regularly engaging in public camping or sleeping on any public property, public building, or public right-of-way under the county or municipality's jurisdiction unless the county designates property for such purposes.
All right, so this is the public camping ordinance, what you might think of as the anti-homeless ordinance or law that they're thinking about passing in Tallahassee. The Senate hearing on this yesterday. And in a long session, but actually maybe it was the day before, apologize. Maybe it was Monday they heard this. Doesn't really matter. But either way, this week. And this is Senator Martin presenting, and he's going to get a lot of questions from other people about this. But the basic idea here, it's written in a kind of a confusing way, but the gist of it is this. If people are sleeping on your land, you can call the police and they can come take them away. That's trespassing. That's ordinary. That's normal right now. But they didn't have a place to take them to. They just kind of take them to the perimeter or maybe take them to jail if you're going to arrest them for trespassing. If they're sleeping on public land, well, you know, before. Now, this would say they have to remove them. They cannot tolerate people sleeping, camping on sidewalks or bike paths or in parks. And what they actually are supposed to do instead is create a designated camping spot. They're supposed to create an area where people are allowed to go camp, and then if they trespass them off of the park, basically, they're supposed to take them over to this camp. And the advantage of the camp is it's supposed to have security, it's supposed to have water and toilet facilities, and it's supposed to be a place where homeless agencies or, you know, relief agencies can go and meet these people and get them involved in a continuum of care and get them what they need. That's the theory of this law. And then if the police are not enforcing that, if the law enforcement is not taking people away from the public lands that they're camping and sleeping on, then you have a cause of action to sue them. So it's designed to force counties and cities to get rid of overnight sleeping, or not even overnight, but, you know, sleeping on sidewalks and in parking lots and under overpasses and in parks. It's designed to prohibit that in the state and instead to require them to create a space where the only time they're allowed to tolerate public sleeping is in these designated campgrounds, so to speak. That's kind of the premise of it. So lots of questions. Jason Pizzo, and by the way, I apologize in advance. Jason Pizzo and Jonathan Martin sound almost identical. When I am listening to them, it is one of the most confusing debates to hear because their vocal patterns are almost identical and they could not be more different in terms of their viewpoint. Jason Pizzo is a very, very articulate, smart, I respect him a lot, liberal Democrat, and Jonathan Martin is same conservative Republican, okay? But here goes.
Senator Martin, have you contemplated, thought about, considered maybe just doing a pilot program of this idea, maybe just in your district? And if not, why not?
I contemplated it after you brought that up at the first committee stop, but I also thought that it would be unfair for Southwest Florida, Lee County specifically, to receive all the benefits of this great bill.
I mean, that's a great question. You know, maybe try a trial first before you put it on the whole state. And his answer is, I wouldn't want to hog all the benefits just for us. I mean, that's a great answer. But then he goes on, right? Because Jason Pizzo is a lawyer, and he turns that answer against him a little bit.
Do you think if you did a pilot program just in, let's say, Lee County, do you have a concern that a number of homeless people would rush to Lee County because they thought they would receive this benefit?
That's one of the concerns. Also, there's a concern that they might leave Lee County if they wanted to continue to sleep on public property and public parks. If there were mental health issues or drug abuse issues that needed to be addressed, they could move to other counties and not receive that help.
And he can't say what they would move to other counties and be a burden on them, but trying to couch it in the phraseology of how this is beneficial to the homeless or what people are calling unhoused, these euphemisms. I'm with Clarence Thomas. Sometimes they pass me by, and I deliberately don't engage in them because I think it's ridiculous. Language means what it means. But we'll get back to this in a second. Again, this is a debate over SB 1530, the public camping bill. Jake has got our traffic on the five. Jake?
Not seeing any major accidents reported by FHP this morning. No tie downs or slowdowns to tell you about. Looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street. Highway 29 is accident-free from the Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. If you're coming out of Milton this morning through on Highway 90 through Pace, not seeing anything slowing you down there. Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway, and Summit Boulevard also not showing any accidents. If you do see anything out there on our roadways, let us know. Call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to the conversation about SB 1530 about public camping. So a little bit of, sarcastic back and forth there. But basically what Jonathan Martin, Senator Martin, says is law enforcement is already chasing its tail trying to solve this problem. Everywhere in the state has a problem. We know we have this problem here in Escambia County, particularly, and not to as much of a degree in Santa Rosa County, but certainly in Escambia County. It's a huge problem. And it is in a lot of these, you know, more urban areas around the state. And he says, look, the goal here is to provide all of this help in a centralized place where homeless people can get at it and to get them to that help. And to put us on a different path from the one that we're seeing around the nation.
Thank you. I think we see what happens when we do nothing, and that's California. That's New Orleans. And we can talk about all the cities that many of us have been fortunate enough to travel through. We see the problems that happen throughout our country. This is something that we can try to avoid the unintended consequence of what would continue to happen if we do nothing this session.
And that's understand. Like, you can't just let people camping decide where you're going to have this problem, which is, of course, what they have done in California and in New Orleans and in other places. And, you know, had been going on this path here. And then, of course, we had the campground underneath I-110, right? This ordinance is kind of designed to make that happen. Only maybe not necessarily in that location, but that's the idea. And only for a year. And then you'd have to change locations. That's kind of a weird provision of the bill, but that's it. And he says, look, this is safer for them, too, because they're more protected. Although, you know, look, we know there's crime and abuse, manipulation, drug use, rape, all kinds of things go on in homeless encampments where there's more than one person. Women often feel very unsafe in those situations. Well, if you put them in a semi-organized, semi-secure place, well, you know, then you have mixing maybe of families and you have, you know, of people with mental disabilities and people with addiction issues and violent people. And is that safer for them? Is that not safer for them? I think it's a bit of an open question. But what would this really practically do? Well, again, it would sort of force a change in how municipalities deal with homelessness instead of turning a blind eye to it and letting it happen and let public camping take place. The idea is move them to one location, give them services, including when you don't have enough bed space. Which nobody has enough bed space. When you don't have enough shelter space, this is what you do. Which, again, is sort of, you even had, like, the REAP facility. They had an outdoor campground, and we talked about this with some of the homeless money that had come in of building a place or, you know, facilitating a place where they could go. So this is largely in line with what we've been trying to do to some degree in Escambia County, and it's more of a statewide policy. The real key to me is that this is designed to force communities to not just ignore the problem. And when they do decide, if they do, to neglect or ignore the problem, it gives people a cause of action to say, hey, you need to get these people out of the park because the park belongs to us, not to sleepers. That's the idea of it. It did pass, and so we'll see. I suspect the governor is going to sign this, but, you know, all of these things are to be determined. 619 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a home improvement project you want to work on, or need to work on, your honey-do list, or you're building a home for the very first time, or you just need a repair because something weird happened and you need to fix it, go to Pensacola Hardware. They've got all the stuff that you need. If they don't have it, you don't need it. I mean, that I say that, but I mean that because they've been doing this for so long that they know. When you go to some hardware stores, like, you know, well, what do you need? That? Okay, let me order it for you. We'll get it in a day. Well, if it's the kind of thing people need, why don't you just stock it? Well, Pensacola Hardware does stock it. They have it. They have it because they know you're going to need it. Since 1851, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire United States. Since before the Civil War, since before the Levi's jeans, you've had Pensacola Hardware. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Silence, Earthling!
My name is Darth Vader. I am an extraterrestrial from the planet Vulcan.
I have had conversations with about the downtown post office with some USPS folks. Obviously, can't get into a lot of details on that yet, and it is still early. But we've had some encouraging conversations about potentially keeping a downtown location, and there'll be plenty more to come on that. And certainly, as far as where they go and lease and all that stuff, of course, that's their business. That's not ours. But it has been a conversation. I know you guys have asked about it. And just, I could give you that update, that we have had good, productive conversations about the potential of keeping a downtown post office location, and more to come. And I know that USPS will be doing some communication on their end to talk about that in the coming weeks.
There you go. The mayor playing a bit cagey about the details, but says that he's been talking with the United States Postal Service about the prospect of keeping a different location downtown for a downtown post office. Post office is a nice amenity. It's a convenient thing. It's something that people hate to see go, especially in a town that we're moving more and more towards having a density increase downtown. So there's fewer drivers, bikers, generally speaking. They're more, you know, living in the area. And so having a post office that they can walk to or bike to or something like that is nice. At the same time, you always have to ask the question, well, okay, just because something has been in a certain place for a long time and you're accustomed to it, does that mean that it's the right place to put it? And I don't know the answer to that question. But when you take away a thing that people are accustomed to, they feel like it's an entitlement, right? And so there's a bit of that working at work here. You also have him saying that the RFP for recycling is out on the street, and they're going to, you know, wait until they get back bids basically to figure out what Pensacola is going to do going forward with recycling, because the, you know, again, that's the same kind of thing. Like, people are accustomed to being able to recycle, and they're accustomed to being able to get the psychological satisfaction from feeling like they've participated in preventing the destruction of the planet. Right? And that's, I mean, you know, that's what's at play in recycling a lot of the time. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that is. You know, it's the same reason why you put things in the recycling that you're not sure if they can be recycled, but you hope so, what they call wish cycling. Because it makes you feel good to put something in the recycling. Look at me, good citizen. Yay. And yet, if you put things in the recycling that can't be recycled, you're actually making the process worse It doesn't go to recycling. It goes to the trash. And it winds up creating inefficiency and costing money. But so what? It makes me feel good. It's a little bit like EVs, right? You know, it makes me feel good. I'm not producing any emissions at my car. But, you know, look at all the emissions that are created in producing the energy to fund, you know, to fuel the car and to mine the rare earth metals that go into the battery and all that. Well, I don't see that, so it makes me feel good to drive the car. I mean, you know, we sometimes don't think all that comprehensively about this stuff. But obviously looking to see what comes back from private providers to see what they want to offer in terms of recycling service in the county. I even wonder if, you know, ECUA might turn out to provide it for the city. You know, I mean, they already have the network, right? 625 on News Radio 92.3. Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
Well, I'm not seeing any accidents reported by FHP. No slowdowns on our roadways to tell you about. Looks like 9 Mile not showing any accidents. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. Burgess or Oliver looking good. Highway 29 is accident-free from the Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. Highway 90 is clear from Milton through Pace. And if you're on Highway 98 this morning through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, I don't see anything slowing you down. If you do see anything out there on our roadways, let us know. Call or text our traffic tip line. That number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. And by the way, I'm really not judging that psychology. I feel it too. You know, we used to always put the pizza boxes in the recycling, and then I learned from the executive director of ECUA, Bruce Woody, yeah, you can't do that because they got grease, we can't use them. But it feels really dirty and ugly to put a pizza box in the regular trash bin because you feel like, oh, I'm hurting the, but you're actually, you know, you have to. Anyway, I get it, I'm not judging. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Nikki Haley will be making an announcement about her campaign at 9 o'clock this morning.
After scoring a single win in the state of Vermont on Super Tuesday, it's widely expected Nikki Haley will officially bow out of the presidential race. Haley had committed to staying in the fight as long as her campaign was competitive, but Donald Trump's string of primary victories is nearly insurmountable. It's unclear if Haley will endorse Trump's campaign or join him at campaign events in the future. He has ruled out Haley as a potential running mate. I'm Rory O'Neill.
And the U.S. Postal Service.
Hold on. Okay. How long until there's total reconciliation and she's the most brilliant woman he's ever met and no longer calls her bird brain? How long?
About 35 minutes.
That's what I had, 35 minutes. Yeah, that's how long it'll take. Right.
Great minds think alike, yeah.
Go on.
The U.S. Postal Service issuing a stamp honoring former First Lady Betty Ford. The official unveiling happening this afternoon at the White House. First Lady Jill Biden and Postmaster General Luis DeJoy. I'm not sure if it's Luis or Louis.
Louis.
Sure. Could be, yeah.
The 14th.
Ford served as the first lady from 1974 until 77 and went on to raise awareness of addiction issues and also was the chair of the Betty Ford Center. Bitcoin has been on a wild ride, Andrew.
You're one of these people. Like, you own some of this stuff, don't you?
Well, I don't own Bitcoin. I sure wish I do, though, because it hit like 67,000 something on Tuesday.
I've got three of them in my pocket right now.
I remember when Bitcoin, you could buy a Bitcoin for a dollar and thinking, that'll never be a digital currency. What do you mean?
Yeah.
But, apparently that came after the SEC approved the ETFs that hold
EFT?
The cryptocurrency. Exchange-traded funds.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's a different thing from the EFTs.
The price has now tripled since January of last year. And it's the whole crypto market has been crazy. I'll tell you, though, I have like a couple $100 invested in crypto. I couldn't do it with real money, like thousands. If you invested $300,000-$400,000, it could become $200,000 in a matter of an hour. Or a dime. And then back up and then back down. Crypto is crazy.
No, it's the kind of market that A, I don't fully understand, and B, therefore I'm not playing.
It would be very stressful.
Playing. Yeah. David, thanks so much for the update. If you are thinking about buying that next home or a first home or an additional home like a rental, an Airbnb, or just a fixer-upper, whatever, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they can help you. And I know I talk a lot about her as a buyer, like helping you when you're selling a house as a seller's agent, and that's true. I mean, fantastic at that. Sold 175 homes last year, which is amazing. But the expertise that translates into success selling is great expertise to have on your side when you're trying to buy, because she knows what the market will bear, what the real conditions are, what kind of offers are likely to come, what's the right price for a home. And even when it comes to a new build, you might think, well, just buy straight from the retailer. Okay, I understand. But she says we can help you get, points paid down off of your loan, okay, and other things as well. So you as a professional realtor, even when you're buying a new home. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. Again, she's just, they're fantastic. They do incredible work, and they will help you get what you need on either side of the transaction. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next, right after Fox.
This is the Fox News Alert. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Fox News confirming Nikki Haley will be suspending her presidential campaign after former President Donald Trump won 14 of the 15 Republican states up for grabs on Super Tuesday.
They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one.
The former president now has 995 delegates. He needs 1,215 for the nomination. Haley is going to speak at 10 a.m. Eastern in Charleston, South Carolina. She won Vermont. In California, Congressman Adam Schiff is going to go head-to-head with former Los Angeles Dodgers and San Diego Padres first baseman Steve Garvey in November to fill the late Dianne Feinstein's California Senate seat.
This is the first game of a doubleheader. So keep the evening of November 5th open.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31. It's News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 62 degrees and it is mostly cloudy again in Pensacola today. The inmate that's been on the lam for about a week in Escambia County now back in custody. The sheriff's office says 32-year-old Corey Culver was found yesterday near L Street and Fairfield Drive. It was actually very close to the Work Release Center where he escaped last Wednesday. Since October, he'd been serving a sentence for robbery in Okaloosa County. Now, he's charged with battery on a law enforcement officer and escaping. He's currently being held in the Escambia County Jail. Funeral arrangements have now been announced for Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Deputy Sergeant James Conkle. He died last Thursday at 46 after an illness. His visitation will be at 11 o'clock on Saturday at the Pace Assembly of God. There will be a 12 p.m. service. After that service, a law enforcement escort will travel to the Baghdad Mill Site Park for final honors. Residents are advised to expect delays during that funeral escort. Well, there's still legal issues to resolve regarding the demolition of the Malcolm Young Gym, but in the meantime, Pensacola leaders aren't waiting around to discuss options for planned affordable housing opportunities at the site. Mayor D.C. Reeves pitching the idea of a 99-year community land trust, which he says would ensure the homes that are built there can't just be flipped at market rate after a short period of time.
So that's really good for that one person or that one family that bought the house affordably. The runway runs out and they're able to sell it at market rate, but it doesn't solve our long-term issue.
And while fencing has gone up around the gym for the teardown, a motion for a temporary restraining order was filed again by residents with the hopes that they could get enough signatures to force a citywide ballot referendum. The two-week exclusive negotiating period for the OLF 8 property has come to a close. This week, and developer Beulah Town Center LLC has now submitted their improved purchase offer. That offer for $22 million for the 290 acres. That's about $75,862 per acre. The offer also includes a six-month due diligence period, a good faith deposit of $500,000, and an area set aside to add tennis courts near Navy Fed's outdoor park. District 1 Commissioner Jeff Bergosh says the top line price, though, still needs to be hashed out, as well as the escrow agreement and funding for the design and construction of the boulevard entrance. Escambia County Commissioners are slated to discuss that proposal at tomorrow's meeting. Well, spring break is almost here. Local health care providers are getting ready to treat visiting spring breakers that end up hurt while on vacation. Michael Johnson's the trauma director at HCA Fort Walton Destin. He says they tend to see several diving injuries during spring break.
You know,
every
even
year.
If you jump feet first, the injuries are much less severe than if you dive head first.
And Johnson also reinforced the message from beach safety officials that the Gulf isn't a swimming pool and says folks need to be careful. Watch out for riptides. Of course, watch the flag warnings as well. He says the most common spring break injury is arm and leg fractures. Right now, 6:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jake.
Well, not seeing any major slowdowns or accidents to report to you this morning. We see our normal morning slowdown on Highway 98 eastbound through Navarre. That's going to be after you pass the causeway between there and the Walmart Supercenter. But other than that, I'm not seeing anything out there on the roadways to talk about. I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace this morning is looking good. Highway 29 south through Cantonment and Inslee is flowing. And Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. If you do see anything out there on our roadways, let us know. Call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
It is going to be a beautiful, sunny, and warm day today. Temperatures warming up near 77 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. For Thursday, sunshine continues with a high near 75. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Rain chances to build in for Friday night with a 70% chance of rain and a high near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 62 in Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, and Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Argos! Go Argos! I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. Summer is just around the corner, and we are thrilled to offer Explore Summer Camps to provide weeks of fun and education for your school-age children to enjoy. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we share the many camps available this year and how you can get your camper signed up. Tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. to learn more. That's tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then, get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
A singer in a smoky room, the smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on.
Thank you all for being here as we announce and arrest 26 years in the making. This is one of our cold case homicides that we've been working on for decades in this particular case, but we also had an opportunity to have our cold case symposium, and we looked at cases, and this was one of the cases that we looked at.
Sheriff Chip Simmons yesterday having a press conference about a cold case, as he said, from 1988, a shooting and a murder that took place at the Winn-Dixie over on the west side. And man, they don't quit on these murders. There is no statute of limitations on homicide, and they will keep trying forever.
At 3:59, per this receipt, Stephen Davis checks out of Winn-Dixie, and he goes back to his cab. So this is the timeline as we see it right now. Witnesses on the bench eating lunch outside of Winn-Dixie also noticed this. At 4:05, there are shots fired, and witnesses see Stephen Davis running towards Winn-Dixie, and he collapses next to a truck that is nearby. This is the taxi cab, Stephen's taxi cab. This is where the shooting took place. He gets out, and then he collapses looking for help, seeking help at a pickup truck that is nearby.
Just a horrible, horrible incident. But, you know, lack of information, even with people who were sort of present in the vicinity at the time trying to identify the person who killed him. But there was one piece of evidence that survived all these years. This is why you preserve evidence, because new technology may allow you to go back and reevaluate what's in that fairly scant evidence to begin with.
We did have one piece of information, and it was this bloody fingerprint. We knew that the blood was the victim's blood. We knew the blood was Stephen's blood, but we couldn't get the detail that we needed from this particular fingerprint. But we tried. We tried not once, not twice. We tried three different times, but we weren't able to get, based on technology that was available to us, we weren't able to get the detail that we needed to form up an adequate identification.
Well, I don't know. And, you know, in TV and movies, they pull fingerprints off everything. It's easy peasy. It takes 3 minutes. Yeah, okay, movies and TV, right? But they had this fingerprint, this bloody fingerprint, this one blood globule with some kind of a fingerprint on it, and they went back again with new technology, and guess what?
Ultimately, on the third try, after years and years of trying, and based upon some recommendations of our cold case symposium, we tried one more time with some new training, but also new technology. And this is the print, that old bloody print that you just saw, this is the print, what it turned out to be, giving the latest technology. And that print put us to this individual right here.
That's amazing. I mean, again, the kudos to the agency for continuing to pursue this and continuing to come back, and for Sheriff Simmons for convening the cold case symposium of former law enforcement officers and thinking about these cases. And, you know, sometimes it's fresh eyes. Sometimes it's the 30th pair of eyes that looks at a case that sees a thing or asks a question that everybody else had taken for granted that nobody else saw. And then that leads to the break, right?
He is right now incarcerated in state prison. He is going to be, he's not due to get out for several more years. We have contacted them and we have told him that that Mr. Howard is not to get out and that we need him. His name is Donald Holmes, right? Donald Holmes. He was born February 10th in 1980. So Donald Holmes II is the individual that we are clearing our case with, and he's the individual that will see justice. He's going to be coming back here to Escambia County. They will try him for the murder, even though it happened 26 or so years ago.
That's amazing. Amazing. 36. Yeah, right. 36. That's right. 1988 versus today. 3.5 decades, and they've solved the case after all of this time, which is, of course, does nothing to bring back this person, but it is at least some kind of resolution for the family that they've identified the person. He'll spend the rest of his life in jail, assuming that they can secure a conviction, and he won't be able to hurt anybody else on the outside like that.
I think that what's important to note here is that we take all of these cold cases very serious. We don't stop just because we've exhausted all the leads that we have at one particular time. We talk about these things. Colonel Ingram and his crew talk about these things probably every week, and we take a look at what new technology or new techniques. Sometimes it's technology, sometimes it's techniques.
That's great. And again, just, you know, kudos to the agency for continuing to pursue this and come to a resolution on it. 6:43 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are needing to get a service done on your import vehicle, especially, you know, you've got a Lexus, a Mercedes, a Range Rover, a Porsche, a Jaguar, something like that, you might think, hey, I've got to go to the dealership with that. You don't. You know, actually, by law, you know, they cannot require you to go to a dealership. That's one of those things, like, it's a longstanding law. You can go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. Probably save some money. It'll be a little bit more convenient because it's right here instead of having to drive somewhere and invest the gas. Good Lord, the gas these days. And also the time and getting to the dealership. But they work on those vehicles all the time. Domestics, they work on those. Gas engines, diesel engines, whatever the case may be, they work on it. If it runs on wheels, it's got an engine, they will work on it. Sure, no problem. And the philosophy there is kind of, they want to see your car when it's healthy, you know, for the routine preventative maintenance, so they can avoid you having to have the big expense, the sudden catastrophe that is super inconvenient, of course, also super expensive. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. A couple of laws that are working. One that I had heard a conversation about this law in one of the hearings, and I don't necessarily bring to you everything that I listen to in Tallahassee, because sometimes I think, well, maybe that's not going to go anywhere. Maybe it's not all that interesting, or just plain time. There's only 4 hours in a day, you know, for me to talk to you about this stuff. But the newest one, the one that I did think is very interesting, is they're voting to raise in the Senate the age limit for adult entertainment. Strippers, right? You got to be 21 to be a stripper, which... The theory is that this will cut back on human trafficking. I'm not sure I buy that argument. I can't stand all this stuff. I mean, oh, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, sexy women are appealing. I mean, I'm a man, okay? But the idea of it in our society, I hate it. We'd be a better society if we didn't have it, right? If we didn't have pornography, if we didn't have strippers, if we didn't have prostitution. But there's obviously a demand. And at some point, you know, you have to recognize what the market wants. That doesn't mean you give them what they want all the time. But you have to recognize that this is an endeavor that, though I would never want anybody's daughter to be up on a stage showing her body off to disgusting men for money, that's what you do, and simulating sex acts and all the other stuff, okay? I can never endorse the thing, but if you're going to allow it, it's not clear to me why you put the age at 21. I mean, I get that it's connected to drinking age to some degree, and I get that you're trying to cut down an illegal activity around it, but if it's going to be a legal activity, why is it not a legal activity 18, which it, you know, kind of has been for the longest time? And again, understand, I'm philosophically on board with restrictions because that's less of the thing. But why should you, as a also an endorser of the free market and capitalism, why should you have to wait until you're 21 to do this horrible, terrible thing? It's a living. It's a bad living. It's an abusive, objectifying, take advantage of you living. I'm not sure why the 21-year-old is more capable of handling that than the 19 or the 18-year-old, even though I don't want anybody's 18-year-old daughter to be up there doing it. And that's one of these cases where I just say, look, the thing is awful, but sometimes you tolerate the awful thing in the name of believing in a free market and free expression and people contracting for services that are basically bad for the society. So if I had my way, could we wipe it all away? Sure. Will we be able to? Well, you know, there's a reason they call this the oldest profession. There's a reason that, you know, these businesses thrive. There's a reason that, according to Dr. Perry on Scrubs, if you took away the pornography on the internet, there'd just be one website and it would be called Bring Back the Porn on the Internet. I mean, you know, like, that's horrible, terrible human nature. And since we've abandoned the formational mechanisms like, you know, prayer and the Bible and believing in moral codes and, you know, normativity around things like waiting until you're married and marriage is a man and a woman and for life and waiting until after you're married to have sex so you can have kids and all of that stuff, well, we get what we get. And we've got what we've got. So what am I going to do? Say this is the place where you're going to, you know, pitch your flag and die on this hill? Doesn't seem like it to me. 647 on News Radio 92.3. Jake has got traffic for us. Jake?
This traffic report is brought to you by the Florida Department of Transportation. Not seeing any major slowdowns or accidents to report this morning. We are seeing our normal morning slowdown on Highway 98 eastbound through Navarre. This is going to be right after you pass the causeway, and that'll stretch between there and the Walmart Supercenter. Also, an accident just popping up. This is going to be on Bellevue Avenue in Pensacola as you're headed eastbound towards Mobile Highway. Not seeing any major slowdown from that one as well. If you see anything else out there, let us know on our traffic tip line, 437-1620. Hey, listeners, before celebrating St. Patrick's Day this year, decide whether you'll drink or you'll drive. If you plan to drink, make sure to designate a sober driver. Don't let your luck run out. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, just one quick clarification. I think maybe Sheriff Simmons said 88 in the press conference, and it was actually 98. That's why Jake had kind of said to me, well, that's 34 or 36, not 26. But in any case, just want to make sure the event actually did take place. The murder took place August 26th of 1998 of Stephen Davis. So that's the previously unsolved and now, well, allegedly solved, right? Because you have to get a conviction before you can say for sure. But that's where we're at with that. 649 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I have tickets to give away. Always is, you know, when we have tickets, you have tickets, and it's a fun thing. So we have tickets for the SBC, the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. This is for Session 12. That is the men's semifinal. So these are top-notch games, right? 5 o'clock and 7:30 on March the 10th, so that would be Saturday. So if you want to go to those two games, watch the men's semifinal for the Sun Belt Conference Tournament on Saturday. Men's games again. You can be caller number 3 right now, 437-1620, caller number 3, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
So when it comes to real estate, trust us at buysellcannell.com.
That's buysellcannell.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows southern weather is unpredictable, and our Energy Star windows and doors will keep the heat in and the cold outside where it belongs. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. Energy efficient products made, installed, and guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
When you buy more, you can save more. Visit newsouthwindow.com. New South proud.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Gallon gas, $3.38. The Florida average is $3.39. In Mississippi, it's $2.97. And in California, it's $4.85. Prices seem to be jumping in some places today, so this might be a day to get it early rather than later. 303 east of the Walmart in Navarre, same at the CEFCO up 87, and west of the other Walmart in Navarre. 309 at the, I think that's the Circle K in Tiger Point. I can't get it on my screen to resolve. 319 in Gulf Breeze proper. 303 at the CEFCO in Milton. 319 at the Pebridge Murphy. And then 303? That's a little bit better at the Daybreak Market on Highway 90, or 319 at the Raceway in Pace. 312 on 9 Mile at the Walmart, and coming in from the northwest side, sounds like 328 at the Circle K on US 29. Coming in from the southwest side, prices are all over the place. So the Sitgo at Garden and Pace has 309. That's your best one. Otherwise, they range as high as 329. So, I don't know, good luck this morning on the southwest side. 653 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. Nikki Haley ending her campaign for presidency. The news broke this morning after she picked up only one win on Super Tuesday, that in Vermont. Haley expected to deliver some remarks in her home state later this morning at around 9 a.m. Liberty University being hit with the largest penalty in the U.S. Department of Education's history, according to the sanction announced Tuesday. The Christian University in Virginia will be paying a $14 million fine for creating a culture that suppressed those who were looking to report sexual violence.
This is a huge thing because, of course, Liberty being, you know, Christian school, right? Lots of conservatives send their kids to Liberty because, you know, they trust it. They believe in it as a Christian school. And they dramatically underreported sexual assault on campus, even sometimes engaging in victim blaming. The settlement says this was especially common with respect to sexually based offenses, including rape and fondling cases, many of which were originally classified using non-specific or less specific codes, such as sexual assault. In fact, over the course of this review period, several sexual assault victims were punished for violating the student code of conduct, known as the Liberty Way, while their assailants were left unpunished, according to the settlement. The university said it's fully committed to maintaining the safety and security of students and staff, but practice is not what the speech is, right? I mean, this is really, really bad. Go ahead, David.
And four former Twitter executives now suing Elon Musk over unpaid severance pay. The group includes Twitter's former CEO, CFO, and the head of legal and general counsel. They believe they're owed $128 million from Musk and X.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? I kind of talked about homelessness a little bit earlier today. There's actually a Supreme Court case on public camping and homelessness that is working its way towards the Supreme Court. It'll be heard oral arguments in, I think it's in May. And it's a case out of an area that I used to live in, actually, before we lived here. We lived in Southwest Oregon. I didn't ever live in Grants Pass, but that was right up the road from Medford where I did live. And the case originates there where they, you know, basically had this homeless problem in public camping. And, you know, they tried to do something about it and tried to punish people that they said was involuntarily homeless. And the jurisdiction of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that they couldn't punish them. They couldn't make people move if they didn't have enough shelter beds. Martin versus Boise is the decision. And they said it violated the cruel and unusual punishment clause of the Eighth Amendment. So that'll go toward the Supreme Court. And that was actually a case referenced in the homeless or public camping law discussion that they had in the Senate this week. So very relevant to the things that we're dealing with. And by the way, about a 12% increase in homelessness last year in the United States of America, which is crazy. 28% of the nation's homeless are estimated to be in California. We, of course, have a big share, but we also have a big population here in Florida and nice weather, both of which work against states like California and us. 656 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got our traffic for us. Jake?
Not seeing anything on our roadways to tell you about this morning that's causing any major slowdowns. No accidents reported by FHP, except one. We have one on Bellevue Avenue headed eastbound towards Mobile Highway in Pensacola. Road is blocked there right now, so please use caution getting by that area. And Highway 98 just seeing a little bit of slowdown once you get past the causeway in Navarre headed eastbound. That'll be between the causeway and the Walmart. But like I said, no major slowdowns to really report this morning. If you see anything out there on our roadways, let us know. Call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. What else do we have going on? This is almost too much of a pile-on, but I don't want to not mention it to you for fear of seeming like the pile-on. You know I'm not a big fan of the social media for kids. I'm not that big of a fan for it for adults, but it does serve its purposes. It gives everybody a TV station or a newspaper, and let's just say that not everybody should have a TV station or a newspaper. I think, you know that's true. Anyway, the story comes out that, and kids, particularly kids, the ones that concern me. Well, a new health concern surrounding kids and social media and phones is that the rate of blindness and myopia, nearsightedness among children has skyrocketed over the last three decades. According to the Daily Mail in the UK, 46%. And in the US, a California study says that myopia has spiked a staggering 59% among teenagers. There's one person, he's an eye surgeon, a laser eye clinic in London. Dr. Bjorn Jorgensen says this will only get worse because Gen Zers, people, of course, born recently, are getting enough dopamine. How do they get dopamine? Sunlight. Daylight, going outside, throwing a ball around, riding a bike, falling down, playing on the swings, outside, throwing a frisbee, reading a book, outside, walking through a park, camping, hiking, outside. The time spent in the sun boosts your dopamine levels, but staying indoors reduces the amount of that neurotransmitter, and so that leads to serious eye problems, including myopia, apparently. A study in California and Sydney, Australia, found that time spent outdoors strongly linked to lower risk of nearsightedness, according to the outlet. So short version is if you want your kids to be blind, let them be on the screens all day long. I mean, and the younger they are, the more important it is, right? Play with real toys outside in real life. By the way, just to do this sometime, if you're inside and you work a lot inside, I know I do, just take a break and go outside during the sunlight and see how you feel. And then throw a ball around with your kid and see how you feel. Just notice. It really does make a difference. 6:59 on News Radio 92.3. Time for future news. What time today is Nikki Haley drop out?
She's already dropped out.
Yeah, she'll give some kind of a statement later today, I would think. Will we put the age of strippers up to the age of 21?
Yes.
I think we will. Will it make much of a difference for anything?
Yes.
For those women who don't have the income anymore, yeah, it'll make a difference. And for the men who want to watch the young women, maybe them too.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.